You're listening to History for Christian Teens, the podcast where we examine historical people, places, and events through the lens of the Bible, drawing meaningful lessons that we can apply to our own lives as believers. This podcast is designed for middle and high school age students, but mom and dad and everyone else, you're invited to listen in too. This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network.
Welcome to the History for Christian Teens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Niehoff. On today's podcast, we will explore the life of Jacob from the Bible, continuing our series featuring historical characters from the Old Testament.
And I'm your co-host, Crystal Niehoff. We're so glad you joined us today. In the previous episode, we explored a major event in the life of a young Isaac. Isaac, in his adult years, seems to have lived a rather peaceful life, not adventurous like his father Abraham's had been. Eventually, though, Isaac married a young woman by the name of Rebekah. In the course of time, Rebekah and Isaac welcomed twin boys after years of childlessness and much prayer. Genesis 25, verses 24 through 26 says, "When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grabbing Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them." Jacob's name means the grabber because he grabbed Esau's heel as he was being delivered. As you will soon discover, this name is a very fitting one for Jacob.
Continuing on in Genesis 25, verses 27 through 34, "The boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, 'Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished.' That is why he is also called Edom. Jacob replied, 'First sell me your birthright.' 'Look, I'm about to die,' Esau said. 'What good is the birthright to me?' But Jacob said, 'Swear to me first.' So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. When Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew, he ate and drank. Then he got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright."
When his brother came in famished from a long day of hard work in the field, Jacob saw an opportunity and grabbed it. Sadly, Esau placed a quick meal over the blessing of his birthright as the eldest son and heir to his father's wealth, and he was obviously persuaded. Years passed, and we pick up the story in Genesis 27. Isaac is now a very old man with poor eyesight. Isaac sensed his time on earth was nearing the end. He called for his eldest son, Esau, and told him to go out and hunt wild game for him. He then instructed his son to prepare a meal and bring it to him to eat, after which he would give Esau his blessing before he dies. However, Rebekah overheard what Isaac said to Esau. Rebekah devised a scheme, and once Esau had left to go hunting, gave Jacob instructions to bring her some game. She told him she would then prepare a tasty meal for his father so that Jacob may receive Isaac's blessing instead of his brother. In verses 11 through 12, Jacob asks this, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." Rebekah answers him in verse 13, saying, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me."
Reading further from verse 14 through verse 29, "So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him, and when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed."
The scheme worked. Isaac gave Jacob the birthright that belonged to Esau as the eldest son, thinking it was actually Esau and not Jacob. Esau shortly afterward came in with a meal of freshly prepared game for his father, but it was too late. Rebekah and Jacob had deceived Isaac. The blessing was already spoken over his younger brother. For further study, we encourage you to read through the end of chapter 27. However, for the sake of time, we skip ahead to verses 41 through 45, in which it says, "Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.' When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, 'Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?'" Before you begin to think that Jacob got off easy, we're about to learn an important lesson. Let's look at Genesis chapter 29. After a long journey, Jacob finally arrives near the area where his uncle Laban is known to dwell. He sees shepherds near a well. When asked, they tell Jacob that yes, they do know his uncle, and in fact, his daughter Rachel is approaching with her sheep right then. After the sheep had been given water to drink, Jacob told Rachel that he is the son of Rebekah, Laban's sister. So she ran and told her father, and Laban swiftly returns overjoyed to meet Jacob and invites his nephew to stay at his home.
After about a month, Laban wanted Jacob to work for him rather than continue to live in his home for free. Even though Rachel's older sister, Leah, was still unmarried and it was customary at the time to marry the older first, Jacob was smitten with Rachel and told Laban that he would work for him for 7 years to be given permission to marry his youngest daughter, Rachel. His uncle agreed. Jacob worked for 7 years, although his love for Rachel made it seem only a few days. And when they agreed upon the time was up, Jacob reminded his uncle of his agreement to give him Rachel's hand in marriage. There was a great wedding feast that lasted all day before the newlyweds retired for the night. When Jacob saw his wife's face with the morning light, it was Leah. Laban had tricked him. Genesis 29 tells of Jacob's confrontation with his uncle. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also, in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years.
Wow. As the saying goes, what goes around comes around. Life is full of choices. As the Bible says in Proverbs 4, verses 26 through 27, using the New King James Version, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." The reason for being so careful with the decisions you make brings us to our first takeaway from today's story. Life application lesson number one, you reap what you sow. Galatians 6, verse 7 tells us, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." The principle of you reap what you sow is that you eventually have to face up to the consequences of your actions. So make wise decisions in how you conduct yourself, treat people, and in everything you do.
Life application lesson number two, focus on the eternal rather than the temporal. Temporal means the temporary, here and now, worldly. Esau, being temporal minded, chose to sell his birthright for a quick meal rather than wait a little longer to cook one himself. His inheritance and blessing from his father had much more wide-reaching and even eternal effects than a single meal that would satisfy him temporarily. 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 18 and 5:1 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. One day we will all face eternity and the consequences of our choices here on earth. Give your life to Jesus and follow him so that you have an eternal home in heaven."
That's it for today. We hope you are enjoying our History for Christian Teens podcast. Please join us next week as we explore the harrowing story of a man who was sold into slavery by his own brothers, but was able to rise above his circumstances and even eventually forgive them.
If you have any questions, comments about today's episode, or are in need of prayer, you can reach us by email at historyforchristianteens@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening in today. If you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook too. Links to this and all the other resources mentioned during the podcast today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for another thought-provoking and insightful lesson in History for Christian Teens.